Welcome. I am delighted to share with you self-awareness, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual through new thought, exploring relationships, health, and healing, true prosperity, and metaphysics. These topics embrace transpersonal psychology, realizing that we are more than bodies, minds, inherited tendencies, genes, conditioning, or programming. Transpersonal psychology goes beyond the persona, meaning going beyond. We are spiritual beings going through a human experience. The topics were recorded in front of a live audience at the Victoria Center for Self-Awareness, where I was the founder, then the director, for 25 years. After the meditation, we'll have a few moments of silence to envision world healing, world peace, and having food distributed to all on our planet. Noticing our thoughts, just releasing any thought of the future or the past, presencing ourselves to right now. Envision light moving up your spinal pathway. All the way up. Also through the back of your neck, the back of your head, and the top of your head. Now focusing your attention at the point between your eyebrows. Know that I speak these words for me and for you in the I person. There is one presence, one power, one God. It is the fullness of wisdom, intelligence, creativity, and unconditional love. Being omnipresent, it expresses not only around me, but in me, through me, and as me. I acknowledge, feel, and know that right where I am, God is. The allness of divine mind, creativity, love, and life is not only in me, it is as me. I am free from erroneous beliefs, negative, fear-filled, destructive thoughts are now released from my consciousness. Infinite life, intelligence, wisdom infuses me with vital aliveness. I am boundless energy. I am radiating perfect health. I express joyful, energetic life. Every fiber of my being tingles with life. Emanations of peace and love and wisdom and divine order, true understanding, move me to my greater and grander self-expression and creativity. Each moment, each day, each week, I grow in the conscious realization that I am the health of the infinite, the strength of the infinite, the divine expression of God in action. I'm thankful for this conscious realization this morning. I'm thankful for each person gathered here in spiritual community. I'm thankful for my world and universe and my relationship to them. And I'm grateful most of all
for the capacity to give and receive love for life itself. And so it is, and it is so. Thank you. My topic this morning is go straight to health. Go straight to health. You know, it was great when we had agreement mediation this last week, and Leo Young said that's kind of like an extension of our integrative holistic health series. And he asked us, so what's your definition of health? And I want to ask you that, just in your own mind. Well, how do you hold health? What is your definition of health? Hopefully it's more than just being free of disease. Hopefully it is. This is the definition that he gave us, and it's great. The condition of optimum well-being. The condition of optimum well-being. That's why I made the decision for us to read together that wonderful writing on wellness before the topic started. So my purpose this morning is threefold. First of all, do we go straight to health or do we take detours? Second, health has the word heal in it. And it's good for us to know the distinction between healing and curing. Some people have never even thought of that. And then the third point, I won't mention it now, but it's about us making a very, very important shift, a very important shift. So when I said earlier that the definition of health is the condition of optimum well-being. So it's well-being. It's something like when I talk about prosperity at the center, it's not only about money. Prosperity is to thrive and flourish and be successful in every area of our life. Health is the same way. It's our physical well-being, of course, and vitality. It's about being mentally clear and in balance that way. It's about emotional wellness and emotional maturity. Emotional maturity is very much like spiritual maturity. It's owning our projections. Those of you that are studying Course in Miracles know what that's all about. And many of you who aren't studying it know what this is about. Health is about relationships, being loving and supportive of ourselves and of other people. And of course, health includes prosperity, to thrive and flourish and be successful in every area of our life. Somebody said, well, where's the spiritual point? Well, we know at the center that it's all spiritual. I'm not talking religious now. It's all spiritual because we are immersed in that presence and power. We can never be separate from it. We're immersed in that omnipresence of God. So when we look at spirituality, there's a distinction between spirituality and religion. Religion is outward directed, has to do with our behaviors, calls us to a standard of doing. But spirituality is inward directed, calls us to a standard of being. Someone at the chats last week said, you know, we use kind of different language like beingness. And I said, you know what? I don't even know if that's a word in the dictionary, but we can make up a word anytime. We're human beings, not human doings or human going-tos or have-tos. We're human beings, okay? So on this journey, the journey that we're on a journey of I don't like to use the term of evolution because sometimes people are locked into thinking that means that we came from monkeys or apes. No, that's not what it means. We're involved in an unfoldment of consciousness. And when we're born as babies, we're born into simple consciousness, a stimulus reaction. Then around 2 years old, when most people call it the terrible
twos, but it's not the terrible twos.
The child is becoming self-reflective and developing self-consciousness. You know, the child will say, if the baby's name is Emily and daddy's going to the store, at one point she'll say, "Wait for Emily." But then another point she'll say, "Wait for me." Big shift in consciousness. Big shift. And then we're shifting from simple to self-consciousness and ego stuff, etc. And then hopefully self-consciousness, that large S-E-L-F, realizing that we are expressions of God. And then also realizing that there are universal spiritual principles that if we align with them and live our life with them, we can actually be as if cosmic conscious. And sometimes we slip in and out of all of these different realms. But no, underneath it all, it's like the undergirding of it all. We're on this spiritual journey of unfolding our consciousness through the form of your human body in this lifetime. All right, so I said a little earlier, do we go straight to health, health in the bigger context like I mentioned a few moments ago, or do we take some detours? Do you know, most of us have cars, drive cars, or have been in cars, and if we heard a knock in the motor, I don't think anyone present here would just turn up the volume of the radio station. You know, we kind of think that's, you know, like, of course not. In our going straight to health, it's important for us to be awake, have a conscious awareness of what's out, what isn't working, what is knocking on us. There was a story about a co-pilot that said to the pilot, "Well, a moment ago, I saw a red light, warning light blinking under the landing gear malfunctioning." And so the pilot said, "What did you do?" And he said, "Oh, I just unscrewed the light bulb." Like, we know that wouldn't happen. But you know what? Sometimes there are a lot of people that live their life that way. Life is presenting itself to them, showing them, this is what's next for you. This is what you need to clean up. This is who you need to talk to. This is where you need to go. This is what you need to say. This is what you need to do. And it's like, turn up the volume. Unscrew the light bulb. So it's really important when we say go straight to health, to have the idea of health. To be healthy, full of vitality, and have a vision of longevity for your life in a healthy way. So it's important to first of all have the idea of it, the vision of it. But I'll tell you folks, you've got to move out of that vision. You move out of that vision into action in alignment with that vision. I spoke about that in one or two of my topics ago. You know, the idea and the action. Balance is what, was it last week or the week before? Balance, you know? All right. So those two ideas, you know, don't live your life like that. When something's trying to present itself to you, pay attention. That was one of my other points in one of other topics. Okay, so pain is not bad. Pain tells us to get away from something. It tells us to change our thought, have a different attitude, take a different action, a different behavior. There's a book that's a runaway bestseller right now, and Oprah has had him on her program twice, and probably many of you women have heard about it or have even bought it. It's called "He's Just Not That Into You."
How many people have heard about that book? Okay, good. The men are kind of worried about this book. Some of them are kind of worried about it. Anyway, you know, I won't go into a lot of the book, but he's doing a wonderful service to women. A wonderful service. You know, they think, you know, this isn't working. You know, life is showing them, you know, the knock in the motor, the light bulb or whatever, is showing them this is not it for you. But they keep, you know, hanging on. And, do you think I could change him or what do you think? And he just says, he's just not that into you. Go on. There's somebody more wonderful for you that's more in alignment with you that you deserve. So how does this tie into what I was just speaking of? Pain is not bad if you listen. So I'm not only speaking about physical pain, of course. And of course it's good to listen. When I wrenched my ankle and fell on it and I heard a crack, and thank God I didn't break it, I sat on the sidewalk where I was and gave it Reiki immediately. Immediately. So it tells us to, you know, here it is. Yada. Now, don't expect someone else to solve our problems without us changing. Because we're the common denominator in there. We're the ones that this is happening to around, you know, including in us. So we may have to make a shift in our choices, in our attitudes, in our actions, behaviors, our lifestyle that got us there. You know, Scripture says, go and sin no more. Now, at the center, we don't talk about being sinners. Because when sin is to miss the mark, to make a mistake, just because you make a mistake doesn't make you a mistake. Got it? So just because we make a mistake, and we could say we have all sinned, we've made mistakes, that doesn't make us sinners. However, the challenge is go and don't make that mistake again. Go and sin no more. There was an example, just one example, of Jesus healing. And he said to the man, and this is so important, pick up your bed and walk. Not just walk. He said, pick up your bed and walk. What did that mean? You know, you're not going to get crawl back into bed again. You know? So it's like that. It's looking at, okay, so what is it? This is not about blame. This is about conscious living as a lifestyle. So what was my part in this? And okay, so maybe there has to be some kind of a shift over here. The moment we shift, the dynamic changes, whether or not we're speaking about family, relationship, in prosperity, in organizations. It's like that. There's the dynamic changes. So it's important for us to tell the truth, especially if there seems to be, and maybe we haven't been conscious of it before, there might be a payoff in not listening to the knock in the motor, whatever that knock is, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, prosperity, or, you know, relationship. Because the payoff could be, well, then I don't have to risk. Then I can stay very comfortable here and not change at all. The payoff can be, I don't need to be responsible or accountable. And most people would never even say that to themselves. But it's like, you know, to you know, like, look. It's also about acknowledging if there's any fear associated with anything. And of course there might be fear associated with rejection, abandonment, being alone, What was that?
I was thinking the other day, Jerry Maguire was on, and I've watched it a couple times, but I kind of set up some filing to do because there's certain parts of it I just love. Certain movies are like that for me. And remember when they're in the elevator and somebody's doing the sign language and he doesn't get it, what's, and she knows what these two people are saying, and she says, he or she said to the other person, "You complete me." And then further on in the movie, when he comes back to, you know, reconnect with her and make the marriage work, he says, "You complete me?" Uh-uh, that's not New Thought. Who you are whole, complete, perfect, spiritual, and divine. No one else can complete you. What relationship is about, and I've got this really in my mind because I'm preparing for a workshop in Edmonton on relationship. It's like what Neil Donald Walsh has said. Bring your completeness to the relationship and see what a relationship you can have then. But not, "Will you complete me?" Like I'm a half a scissor. You know that's an old one. You know who said that years ago? Liz Taylor said that of Richard Burton. That we're like a half a scissor. Boy, that was in my memory bank from a long time ago. So, of course, we need to, release any fear-based ideas. You know, politics is so much in the fore right now. And thank you, Brian, for sending that email. That was very helpful. I hope, and I kind of see Canada's moving in this direction, and I don't want it to, a fear-mongering around election time. It's like I want politicians to have a vision and stand for that vision. I don't want us in Canada to call the other party the opposition. What kind of a context is that set up? Hello? That is crazy. The opposition. When are we going to get it? How powerful our language is. So I'll leave that aside. That's for another talk. I said, don't get distracted. It's like I'm still on the first point here. Go straight to health. Don't detour. Don't get distracted. A very well-known coach in the States who has coached what used to be called Fortune 500 companies and their executives or CEOs. One of the first exercises she has them do, and it's not a to-do in the course, it's to make a commitment in the course to go home and do this. And these are people that earn, you know, well over $100,000 a year, well over that. What does she coach them to do? Go home and eliminate petty annoyances. At least 100 of them. That is very powerful. That's very powerful. I noticed after my husband Norman made his transition and I had blocks of time that I didn't have while I was caregiving him. And I went into, you know, tidying up some things, some little petty annoyances that were just, you know, I had a blouse that was sitting in my, this is so simple, but I mean, this is everyday life stuff. A blouse that was hanging in my room where I do my laundry room that had a button missing, and it was hanging there for 6 months. And every time I went to do a load on, I went, God, I got to get to that button. But you know what? It wasn't a high priority. These other things were. So, you know, look in your life. Go home today and kind of walk around your home and yard and your car and garage and your office when you're, or wherever you work, and think about what, is there something that when you walk by it or when you think it, it goes, I got to get to that sign. Like that.
And the freedom of it, the freedom of it is amazing. Now, I said earlier that healthy includes the word heal. Cure doesn't always involve healing. Sometimes people's symptoms or the disease can appear to be cured. You're symptom-free. However, if there isn't a consciousness shift, see, consciousness undergirding whatever the challenge was. So unless there's a shift in consciousness, something that will be recreated, or it'll be recreated in another organ, or it'll be a different disease. The consciousness needs to shift. I want to give the example of one of my uncles who died a long time ago. I had a lot of uncles from my mother's side. I think there's 9 altogether. Uncle Ed, he used to live in the States. He moved there many, many years ago, changed his last name, didn't like his Ukrainian or his Polish last name. And my husband and I went to a New Thought conference, and we stopped in where he lived. He lived in Cleveland. And we stopped in to visit him on our way to New York or wherever we were going. And it was very, very evident that he was so racially prejudiced against black people. It was unbelievable. I couldn't believe that he belonged in the family. And some of the things that he said, and what I thought was so interesting was, they were renting a house that black people, African-American people owned. So the owner came to collect rent one day, and my uncle was so nice to him. I was kind of watching this and going, wow. My uncle was dying of cancer. Now, I'm not saying all people that have cancer are racially prejudiced, no. But I'm saying there's a level of consciousness that's going on. Sometimes with cancer, you have to look, especially 2 years before, if there was something very, very traumatic, very sad, a huge, huge trauma. But in this case, I could definitely see that it was his hatred. He hated them. Now, Jesus Christ himself could have visited and cured my uncle of the symptoms. But unless there was a consciousness shift, probably within a short time, he would have recreated it in another part of his body, because cancer eats at you. Hate eats at you. Upset eats at you. Pain, grief eats at you. Like that. Unforgiveness eats at you. So again, it's like healing is not just curing. Consciousness shift underneath it. Healing pertains to the consciousness, the spirit within, and the cure pertains to the body, the physicality. And if anybody ever says that you or someone you love or someone you know has a terminal illness, don't even listen to that. Think of terminal like an airport terminal or a bus terminal, and relanguage it in your mind to incurable. You say, well, Gail, what's the difference if it's incurable or terminal? Then look at that word incurable and take it apart. Incurable. Read it reverse. Able to be cured from within. Able to be cured from within. And hold that as a context for them or for yourself. Have the audacity to ask for total healing and recovery. Total. I remember one of the little things that I had after my near-death experience, and I seemed to be very much recovered, but I had a challenge with this finger in my left hand, because they had so many cut downs in my arm for intravenous and other tubes after the automobile collision.
And this finger was tingling, and it just wasn't functioning right, and it was I was losing feeling in it, and I went to a specialist about it, a neurologist, and he kind of said that to me, and it'll never be the same. I mean, because they, you know, I've got all these scars here and here and here, and you know, that it was damaged. I went home, I thought, poo to you. So I went and took piano lessons for a couple of months. You know, piano lessons, you really have to work your fingers. And then when I went back to him, he said, well, I really can't believe it. He said, I can't believe that it's 100%. It appears to be, but I'm just going to put 90% on here. Hello? Okay. So the healing is the conscious awareness that we're immersed in God. It's the transcendental domain. It's the domain of love. And it's not about the emotion love. It's about the larger context. We did a whole month on love here at the center. I want to share with you a story that was sent to me a while back. It's called Little Miracle, and it's a true story. And I'm going to, you know, encapsulate it here. Karen found out that another baby was on its way, and she wanted to help her 3-year-old son, Michael, prepare for the new sibling. And they found out that the baby was going to be a girl, and day after day and night after night, Michael would sing to his baby sister inside his mummy. He'd snuggle up to his mummy and sing to his baby sister. The pregnancy progressed normally, and then some serious complications happened during delivery. And she found herself in hours of labor. And finally the baby was born after many hours, and it was in serious condition. It was rushed to a different hospital, be in a neonatal intensive care unit, and the days inched by. And the little girl got worse, and the pediatric specialist regretfully told the parents, there's very little hope. Be prepared for the worst. The parents actually contacted a cemetery and bought a lot. They had fixed up a special room in the home, and now they were planning a funeral. But little brother Michael kept begging his parents if he could go to see his sister. I just want to sing to her, he said. Week 2 in intensive care looked as though the funeral was just around the corner, and Michael kept nagging. So the mother put on an oversized scrub suit and marched him into the ICU, and he looked like a little walking laundry basket. And the head nurse recognized the child and said, get that child out of here. No children are allowed in ICU. And the mother rose up strong. Sometimes we have to do this. And the usually mild-mannered woman glared, steely-eyed, right into the head nurse's face and made her lips firm and said, he's not leaving until he sings to his sister. They sat him beside the baby, and Michael sang, you are my sunshine, my only sunshine. Instantly, the baby girl seemed to respond. The pulse rate began to calm down and become steady. Keep singing, Michael, mother encouraged with tears in her eyes. And he continued to sing. The baby's ragged, strained breathing became as smooth as a kitten's purr. Keep on singing, sweetheart. The other night, dear, as I lay sleeping, I dreamed I held you in my arms. And the child began to relax more and more. Keep on singing, the mother kept saying through the tears. And he continued, you are my sunshine, my only sunshine. Please don't take my sunshine away. The next day, true story, the very next day, the little girl was well enough to go home. What's that about? It's about the healing power of love and faith and belief. I'm not saying every child that doesn't get well didn't get love and there wasn't enough faith, but that's a demonstration of what is possible. That's a demonstration of what is possible. I remember when I was under surgery for 8 hours after the automobile collision, Norman said that he went around to every nursing station he could find and say, "My wife is going to walk out of here." And they kept offering him Valium because he was in the car collision too, but he was virtually undamaged except for shock. But that's what he said. Now, he was probably amplifying that for himself, his own support at that time. And he said, "I kind of did it until Randy came," because he'd phoned one of our friends to come and sit with him. So that's the shift we need to make, the important shift of self-reliance. Now, I'm saying self-reliance with a capital S-E-L-F, not small S-E-L-F. Rely on the self of who you are as a spiritual being, as an expression of God. So positive, like the shift is not to be passive and stand by. It's to be, it's to be accountable and responsible. Being able to respond to the situation. Being accountable, not like blame, but gee, there were some things that were in motion, and maybe if I shifted, changed my perception, attitude, lifestyle, whatever, I contributed to this in some way. I can contribute to my health and healing also. It doesn't reside out there. It resides within. So, in closing, just, keep in mind about going straight to health in every area, the physical. That's why I inserted this Do Your Body Mass Index. There's so much in the media now about the percentage of people who are obese now, and our children are becoming obese. One of the things some of the school districts cut out was physical education. Hello? That is not, we don't want the children to be obese and then we cut out this other thing. We don't want the children to be obese, but we've got junk candy and food and the... It doesn't compute. So we need to really, speak about it. So again, that little typo in there, just remember that you're dividing your height and then you divide it again with the same number. And it's a good thing for you to look at where you are on that scale. Emotional wellness and maturity. Owning our projections, I loved what Leo had to say. He said, if you only go away from here with two things on Wednesday when he spoke about agreement mediation. And it was so similar to that little yellow card that we had given you about our thoughts, create our feelings create our vibration creates the result. But he said it like this: there's our perception, so there's our thoughts, and there's our emotion. And he said, instead of getting angry, this was the second point. He says, remember, your thought comes before your emotion. Instead of getting angry, get curious and ask questions. It was a great mini workshop on communication. I have to say something. It's like, I said, how many of you have never had conflict? Nobody's hand came up. And he was one of the best presenters we've had, and we had six people turn up for it. And he was wonderful.
It's like, you know, I don't know what else to do as far as ask. You know, we've asked the congregation at one point what they wanted. I gave them exactly what they wanted that year, and we had very few people turn up. So now I decided, you know, about health and integrative health and healing series and some of these wonderful ideas that come up. And so I don't know. I don't know if people are very busy. I don't know if you have other, if you get distracted or if you get detoured or whatever. But there's been some wonderful people here sharing their wisdom with us. And I'm so glad that I didn't delegate the presiding away to somebody else, because I've been at all of them and received value. And I have been in New Thought for years, and I receive value. So, you know, like, come support these things and invite your friends and tell people about it. You can't come tell people about it, you know. It might change their whole absolute life. And again, in wrapping up relationship, next week I'm going to be speaking about from ordinary to extraordinary relationship, and it's Mother's Day. And my son and daughter-in-law and granddaughter will be here, so I'm real excited about that. And health includes true prosperity, to thrive and flourish and be successful in every area of our life. One other thing I want to say about the mental. Watch what ideas you allow to come into your mind. And it's like, it's just, this is so subtle, but this is one thing that bugs me. Some people send me emails and they say, send it on. That's okay. But then some of the emails say, send it on, or come on. You know, like, where's the consciousness to that? Sure, if you want to share something with some other people, I do that too, and I'm very selective about which ones I send and who I send it to. And I don't open anything forwarded. If you ever send me anything forwarded, unless it's in the body of the ad, I will not open it. Ding, delete, end. So, you know, anything we allow into our consciousness, it's like poisoning a well from which we must drink every day. So be, you know, like, conscious living as a lifestyle. Go straight to health. Is this about health? Now keep asking, is this about health? Is this about optimum well-being? Is this about optimum well-being? Is this relationship good for me? Is this relationship good for me? Somebody at Love at the Core, we were talking about, I don't know, vision, mission, and purpose and the distinction. Somebody asked me what my mission was, and I said, you know, I worked on my vision statement, my mission statement, and my purpose statement right after Norman died. I'd go and I'd sit beside the ocean and I think, okay, so my life has changed a lot. So I'll just share with you, my mission is to move, touch, inspire, empower, and educate as many people as possible in New Thought with my personal integrity, freedom, and prosperity intact. And boy, I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at what isn't serving me and what is serving me and where I need to be and where I need to leave. And it's something for us all to look at in our own personal lives. So thank you for your conscious attention this morning. You're such a blessing to each one of us when you come, because your consciousness raises the vibration of the audience here. It causes me to be a better presenter because you presenced yourself here, so thank you. God's presence and power within me acknowledges and salutes God's presence and power in each and every one of you. Namaste. Thank you.